Find your notes here. I know they're here.
Anybody need an outline? It hasn't changed. We have plenty. The price is right. You got your son.
Don't look for me tonight. We're having a family birthday celebration.
Okay. You folding up my thing. I'm glad you know I'm a joker. Here, my man. That's exactly it.
Yep, thank you.
I'll give you some extras here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18 is the famous prologue, and I want to go through that. You guys need some outlines? You might save them for next week if you're coming back, but you don't have to. We have plenty. How was school?
Good. Yeah.
Good?
Accelerated. I know. It's accelerated.
Made some friends?
Yeah.
Wow. Professors kind?
Kind.
Strict?
Hi, Robert.
Hi, my friend.
Is your
friend? No, this is her chemo week. So she's not coming. Need one?
No, we don't want one. Thank you.
I bet you have one, right? Bob, you need one? Can I give you some extras?
Oh, in case somebody comes in. Yeah.
Please. That's kind of the pattern. No offense to anybody. I follow Van's lead. He never says one word about people coming late to worship. If I were pastor, would I? Not sure. I try to find a nice way to do it. Am I offended? Am I offended? No, I'm not offended. But shucks. I would hope we'd teach our children better. I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, some of the adults. John 1, I've got my own sins to worry about. John 1, 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, period. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. John 1:9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, I would translate own home, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but who were born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who's at the Father's side. He has made him known." Then a break. And this is the testimony of John. So I'm just showing that a new subject begins with 19. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your holy word. Thank you that it is your very revelation of yourself written, and yet in words that we can understand. Illumine us, we pray. Help us understand, help us believe, obey, confess, whatever we need to do accordingly. Work in us according to your good pleasure. Bless Van as he preaches today. May he not overdo. We commit him to your grace and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In answer to your question, Mary Pat, it's a struggling week because it's chemo week, 3 out of 6. Next week will be better, and the following week, the third week after the chemo, is even better yet. She's okay. At the worst, she likens it to a flu, a bad flu. Right now, it's not like that, but she's just off of her game. Maybe her stomach will be upset or a headache like that, but fighting it much better than I would. Metronome? I'll tell you a funny story. I remember one. I'm teaching in a big, is it a classroom? Almost like an auditorium thing. It's got a huge screen. And one of the jokers in the class has a controller, and I don't know it. And I think I'm teaching on angels, something like that, or spirits, angels. And all of a sudden, guess what? The screen starts coming up and down. And I probably said something like, oh, maybe the good Lord is trying to tell us something, and they lost it. And the character, Shane Wheeler, what a guy. Oh, my word. Some pastor got just a man full of love and joy. That was truly funny. The prologue is justly famous, even as literature. Not even as part of the Bible, which is famous too. I'm just going to mention the outline. Prologue, the first 18 verses. The body of the gospel is 2 through 20, divides in the middle after 12, because the audience of 2 through 12 is the world. I'm using round figures. The audience of 13 through 20 is the disciples. Epilogue is in chapter 21. If you look at it carefully, the end of 20 has the purpose statement, and then some testimonies. You know, we testify that he who wrote this book, unless I got my stuff mixed up, and I don't want to teach that. I did. Yes, I did. I did mix up. The purpose statement is at the end of 20, and then 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, or Galilee. So it's really a distinct thing. Some think it was not written by John. I don't think that has to be a necessity. If it were not written by John, could it be included in the Gospel of John as part of God's Word? Sure, why not? It doesn't say, even the whole Gospel doesn't say who wrote it, but others, I think conservatives usually say it's written by John, but it's sort of an addendum, or I'm calling it an epilogue, to correspond to the prologue, the formal introduction, literary introduction to the gospel. In the beginning are the first words. Where do those words come from? Genesis 1:1. John's making a deliberate allusion to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We have the verbal parallel, the verbal likeness with the very first three words. We've got the theme of the creation. Verse 3, all things were made by him, right? So it takes us back to Genesis 1, and then it refers to creation. Genesis 1, over and over again, how does it talk about God as creating? God creates by? Yes, exactly. Thank you. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God's powerful word brought things into being. It doesn't say in John 1, God speaking. They're pretty close. It says God has a word, God's word. That comes from that creation imagery. So John is using creation imagery to speak, first of all, of the creation, but then of the new creation. If I had to say, there are like 6 or 8 pictures of Jesus in this gospel. The two most prominent ones are Jesus as the bestower of eternal life, and another one is Jesus as the revealer of God. Why don't you just say prophet? Oh, he's a prophet, but he's more than a prophet. He is God himself who became a man to reveal God to human beings. He's the revealer. He speaks words no one ever spoke. He speaks what he heard the Father say in heaven. As a matter of fact, he speaks sometimes what he hears the Father say now. Like that. It is incredible. The words I speak to you are not my own. Of course they are, in a sense. He means ultimately. They are the words of the one who sent me. Jesus is the life giver. I don't mean lays down his life on the cross. He does, John 10, good shepherd. No, I mean gives the gift of eternal life, bestows life. And he is the revealer of God. Well, right out of the chute, John says, Jesus gave life. I'm sorry. Jesus is his human name. The Word, the Son, the Light gave life to everything because all things were made by him, right? He's the creator of all life. What John is showing is the qualifications for the God-man, Jesus Christ, to be revealer of God, to be life giver on earth. He who gave life to the whole shebang. He who created the heavens and the earth in the beginning is now a human being. Oh, God is more than him. This says the Word was with God. It's confusing to a Jewish reader. The Word was with God means this Word with there means was in the presence of God. That is confusing to a Jew for whom monotheism, one God, is basic. The early church never struggled with polytheism. It took the Lord maybe the whole Old Testament to finally convince the people, right? My friend Paul House is a wonderful Old Testament scholar. And he has a very nice Old Testament theology book that's really accessible. And maybe his major theme in that book is God hates idols and he's going to cure this darn people of idolatry. He finally does. The early church did not struggle with idolatry. But they struggled with trying to understand who Jesus is. And John doesn't call him Jesus yet. That is his human name. Both Mary and Joseph were told to call the baby in her womb Jesus when he was born. He's the Son. He's the Light. He's the Word. Word means revealer, revelation of God. In the beginning was the speech of God. The revelation of God. And he was with God. This Word was in the presence of God. That is very strange. It is the basics of Binitarianism, of two being God. Not two gods, impossible in the Christian Bible with the Jewish Old Testament. Absolutely impossible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was face to face with God. And the Word was God. The cults point out, actually correctly, is the Greek word for God, theos, from which we get theology. Theos plus logos. Logos means word, idea, utterance, thing, all kind of things like that. The word about God is theology, right? The S gets elided, gets struck in combination. The cults say it's the word God, but it doesn't have the article. It doesn't have the. Some languages have the and some don't. I don't know, how many languages are you acquainted with, Geneva? What besides Spanish and English? You studied Greek? Spanish has definite articles. Latin does not have definite articles. Russian, I don't think. Ukrainian does not have definite articles. And so sometimes Natasha has to do... You might pray. The first 2 weeks in October I teach in Ukraine. Boy, I love it. And I'm doing John. And that's why I'm teaching Sunday school in John, because I did one third of the way through John a couple months back. And it just got me going again. I just... the book so amazing, so simple, and so profound, so spiritual. Origen writing in the around 300, perhaps, maybe earlier. I'm mixed up all of a sudden. That's not unusual. He said John was written after the other Gospels, and it's a more spiritual gospel. He's right. It makes sense. John had more time to think about it. And that doesn't put down the others. Mark is a fast-paced book that gives the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We're not criticizing Mark if we say John is more symbolic, more, the theology is more developed. So in Mark, as in Matthew and Luke, we have the feeding of the 5,000. John does not repeat many miracles at all. Matter of fact, look at the signs. Water to wine, only in John. Nobleman's son, it's the same. Lame man healed, same. Walking on the water. He walked on the water in the other Gospels. I don't know about that one. Blind man and Lazarus, unique. Feeding of the 5,000 is in all four Gospels. But the other ones do not do what John does, which, by the way, is part of our Lord's Supper meditation this morning. And that is, John gives the bread of life discourse to go with the bread of life sign or miracle. I'm the bread of life. You have to eat me. You have to drink my blood. John has no institution of the Lord's Supper as the Synoptic Gospels do, and as Paul does in 1 Corinthians 11. But he's got the theology. A Christian cannot read John 6. You can't read it without thinking of a Lord's Supper. It's impossible. My flesh is true bread. My blood is true life, is true wine. I mean, just, it is incredible. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no eternal life in you. Anyway, John doesn't repeat many miracles, but he brings out what Jesus really said at that occasion. He's not making stuff up. The others didn't do it. I suppose that's a good question, why? If you want a book to pursue that, I've got it. It's not an easy book, but I'll tell you the book. But any questions or comments so far? Okay, why are the cults wrong? Isn't it God without the article? Yes. Isn't it possible to translate that a God? I guess so. I don't know. I do know the word theos or God is sometimes used in the New Testament for beings other than the true and living God. John 10, in your word, it calls them gods to whom the word of God came. It's either speaking of kings or judges or magistrates, something like that. Human beings in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there's different names for God. This is what happens to me. I never meant to say this, but three different main names for God. Only Yahweh or Jehovah is only and always used of God. The others are sometimes used for other things. Help me here. Elohim and Lord. I really am losing it. This is bad. Adonai, thank you. Thank you very much. Adonai is Lord. Yes. It's used of human lords, masters with servants. In the New Testament, the God of this world, Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4, is called Theos. Now, it's the words with that word, as any other word in any other language, that helps, that interprets, that provides the meaning of the word. Words by themselves might have a core meaning, but I used to play games with my students when I taught hermeneutics. What is that? What does God mean? And if they said, oh, the exalted being, blah, 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 I said, oh, really? Then I'd give them 2 Corinthians 4:4 and blow their minds. And after a while, I'd say, what does such and such a word mean? And here's what they'd say. Give me a sentence. I said, good, you're getting with the program. You have to get the context like that. Anyway, but does this mean a God? Distinguishing the word, making him a lower being, a created being instead of God. He's not the Father, because the word was with God. But he's the Son who is God. Why do you say that? Well, the same word God without the article is used in verse 6. Let me try the cultic translation. The so-called Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't give them that name. They are witnesses against Jehovah. And my heart goes out to them, by the way. I don't say that maliciously. But let me try that. Okay, Thaos with no article means a god. Okay, John 6:1-6. There was a man sent from a god named John. No translation in the world does that. Not even their mistranslation, the so-called New World Translation. No, why? It's absurd. It's referring to the true and living God. Obviously, Greeks sometimes use the article and sometimes didn't. And John, one of the features of his style is variety. Whew! Here's a title of a chapter in a book. Variety, a feature of the Johannine style. And that scholar, Leon Morris, studies everywhere in the Gospel of John. Something is used two times, three times, four times. The epitome is John 15, binding the branches. I don't know, 8 or 10 different times John talks about abiding. Every single one is different. Different word order, different words. As a matter of fact, Leon Morris blew my mind. He says, variety is such a feature of John's style that if ever he says something exactly in the same way, he does so for a point of emphasis. So, this ruins a lot of sermons, but John 21, the third time Jesus said to him, "Do you love me?" And instead of saying agapao, which is related to agape, he says, erotao, eros. He uses a different word for love and says, Peter was grieved that the third time he said to him, "Do you love me?" with that word. Ah, that means there's a huge difference between agapao and, is it erotao? Man, my brain's just going. No, it doesn't. John simply varies his vocabulary. Here's the problem. Peter was grieved that the third time Jesus said to him, Jesus is putting Peter through the paces. Three denials, three affirmations. Get it? That hit him in the heart. That just got him. Jesus was not unkind to Peter, but he was strict. He was forgiving, but he needed to repent, and he did. Anyway, and how about this one? John 1:12. As many as received him, he gave to them authority to become children of a God. Like that one? No, stupid. And they deliberately mistranslate John 1:1 because they have a preconception against the deity of Christ. And I have to tell you something. Those translators on Judgment Day, Matthew would say, woe to them. Jesus would say, better they were not born than what's going to happen to those guys. They misled a lot of people. Now, thankfully, many of the cults have many coming in the front door and going out the back door. Oh, but it grieves my heart. And I prayed all those years that the Lord would raise up one of my students to be a missionary to the cults. I never thought it would be a woman. I don't mean to be a sexist. I just didn't think of it. I never thought it would be a woman who was, she wasn't dumb, but she wasn't the top student. But guess what? It was a woman who had been raised as a Christian Scientist, who loved Jesus, who worked hard in seminary, who did well. I'm not putting her down. I'm just saying, God surprises us sometimes, right? And Katie, just Google former Christian Scientist, and you'll see now a really structured, developed ministry with hundreds of people coming to Jesus. Christian Science is dark, my friends. It is dark. And it is not usually for poor and minorities, which some other cults were. And that got my heart going in the first time place to pray. But it is dark, and they're involved in some terrible stuff. And she's got three steps. You learn about the mess of Christian Science, you learn about Jesus. You believe in Jesus. Start to grow. Number three, you get some counseling and help to sort out that other stuff. Whew, because it is wicked. And thank the Lord for Katie. I really praise the Lord for her faithfulness. She was living on the campus of their high school over here, Principia. Got it. And I don't know if she still is, with her parents, who are dedicated Christian Scientists, loving them. Anyway, amazing story. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was there in creation. And the Word was in the presence of God Himself. And the Word was God. He was the Father? No. Doesn't say it yet, but He was the Son. Holy Spirit? Characteristically, John doesn't mention the Holy Spirit. Oh, he believes in the Holy Spirit. We saw it in chapter 3 with Nicodemus. He just, I can't explain it. I'm not criticizing the Bible ever, but I like to see what each of the writers are doing. John attributes to the Son what many times Paul attributes to the Holy Spirit. I would say in Paul, the Holy Spirit is the life giver, wouldn't you? And he is. But guess what? So is the Father. And John's emphasis is the Son is the giver of eternal life. Through the Spirit, yeah, he says a little bit of that in 14, 15, 16. So doesn't leave the Spirit out, but not at this point. This one, you would translate his story this one, but it means he. He was in the beginning with God. All things through him were made. Is that comprehensive language? Oh, yes. Why do you say that? It's the affirmation of a positive. Immediately, it is followed by the denial of the negative, which makes the first statement incontrovertibly comprehensive. All things were made by him, through him, and without him was made not even one thing that was made. Every created thing was created by the Logos, by the Word. Does that leave the Father out? Of course not. Does that leave the Spirit out? No. Neither of them are in John's immediate purview. The Father worked through the Son. And we would say by the Spirit or something like that. Spirit really is the third person. He's not the star of the story. The star of the story is the Son. Oh, he glorifies the Father. The Father is the first person. But there's no... Who's the co-star of the story? You ready? We are. Not angels. Human beings are the co-stars. God is merciful to sinners, is he not? Psalm 8. What is man that you made him? A little lower than the angels. Crown him with glory and honor. Whew. In him was life, verse 4. The location, the locus of eternal life, always used, it's Zoe, the girl's name Zoe comes from this, Zoe. Zoo comes from this. Zoological, study of life. Every time in John's gospel, there are other words for life, bios, like biology. I don't think it's even used in John, but Zoe, and I think Zoe could be used for other things. I'm sure it can. But I think every single time in John, I'll just say, to be safe, usually it means eternal life. I think maybe every time. Here it does. In the Word was where eternal life was located. And the eternal life in the Word was the source of all the created life we're talking about. As soon as you say all things were made through him, nothing was made without him, you're talking about God, right? No angel does that. No human being does that. Are you kidding me? Angels and human beings are creatures. Now, in him was life. The eternal life resident in the Word was the cause, source of all the created life. Amazing. And that life in the Word was the light of men. the eternal life located in the Son, in the Word. It is the Son, but he calls him the Word. He's not Jesus yet. Oh, he's the Son. He's the Word. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's the light. Light doesn't refer to him yet either. Eternal life in the Word, in the Son, is the cause of the whole creation. And that creation bears witness to God. And the life resident in him that was the source of all created life was the light of human beings. That is, that light shone or shined on human beings with the revelation of God. This is a passage, sometimes ignored or neglected or not understood right, that speaks of general revelation. God reveals himself in the world he had made. Psalm 19 is very famous. Heavens declare the glory of God. Romans 1 is the most famous text. It's really, is it funny? It may not be the right word, but the invisible attributes of God are plainly seen. Huh? By virtue of the things that are made. Because God reveals himself. Paul says there, his mighty eternal power and divine nature are revealed in his creation. Here, the eternal life in the Word was the revelation of God to human beings. Here's the point. The Son, the Word, revealed God before he became a man. So, do you think he's qualified as the God-man to reveal God? The Son, the Word, created everything. He gave life to everything. You think he might be qualified as the incarnate Son to give life to... My goodness, you see it? In liberal hands for years, I think they've repented of it. This was taken to be borrowed ideas from all kinds of cult, false... the history of religion school. John got these ideas from the Gnostics. Now we know there's no pre-Christian Gnosticism. That's impossible. He got that from the mystery religions. He got it from these different cultic sources. And that's he's not. He's showing that Jesus of Nazareth is qualified as the Word made flesh to reveal God and to give life. Why? Because he did it as the Creator Son before he became a man. It is so beautiful. Any comments on the first five verses? Oh, verse 5 is pretty. And the light shines in the darkness. You can't shut out God's general revelation. Oh, yes, you can. I hate God. I'm going to get away from God. I'm going to go in the deepest cave. You can go deep enough, you can see nothing, right? Everybody doing spelunking? How many light sources did you carry? Quite a few. Here you are in the deepest cave. You can see squat. Can you put God out completely? No, because what can you hear better than ever? Your heart beating. That is, we are revelation from God. We're part of creation. Human beings. Luther was a monk. Calvin was a Renaissance man. He could rejoice in the arts and in the beauty of the human body, the creation of God. It is amazing. Have you thought of your eye lately? Your eyes? These cameras we have? My cameras have worked for 76 years. I have a little help, but even that, God gave people wisdom. And man, these things used to be so heavy I had marks. Now with this plastic business, light is... Anyway. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not what? Understood? Mm-mm. The word can mean understand. The word means... Let me see what the word means. It's a play on... You're fooling me, Jack, up here moving my book around. Behave yourself, will you, boy? Receive. Oh, seize, win, attain, overtake, grasp. If you grasp with the mind, you understand. If you grasp with the hands, as in wrestling, whew, you're trying to undo your opponent, right? Shucks. There's a good English. If it's double meaning, John uses double meaning. The textbook case is John 3. You must be born, the word is anothen. It means from above, and it means again. And both of them make so much sense. I think every commentary I've ever seen on the Gospel of John says, this is a use of double meaning. Now, wait a minute. I used to teach this, my students were incredulous. And I'm glad, because regular human discourse, such as you're hearing right now, depends upon the assumption that things have one meaning, right? Otherwise, it's Alice in Wonderland, my friends. Nothing means everything, and we couldn't communicate. But have you ever heard a pun? Puns are funny, or not, because of a play on words. You must be born again. You must be born from above. Well, it's just a coincidence they're both true. Well, and I don't start out wanting to believe in double meaning. Guess I'm a Christian theologian, depending upon the exegesis of the Bible. I don't want the Bible to be a mystery book. I don't want it to be, what does Calvin say, the Roman Catholic professor? He says, they made the Bible like the wax nose of the actors. You can bend it any way you want to fit their theology. He wasn't happy with that. No. Calvin said we should seek the plain and simple sense of God's. And so we should. But John uses double meaning. Sees, is that it? Dang. I really am losing it. I want a word that means you seize your opponent. You seize an idea. It's a better word. Anyway, if I had to pick one, it's overcome. It's because in the Gospel of John, the darkness is not trying to understand the light. The darkness is trying to extinguish the light. There is a battle. And usually world means that part of that darkness business. And the light shines in the darkness. It's a word that means customarily. It just keeps shining. That's what light does. It doesn't run out of batteries or anything in this word. And the darkness has not overcome it. Master, that's my word. You master your spelling lesson, words, and you master your opponent on the mat. Get it? And the darkness has not mastered it, has not overcome it. What does the ESV say? Overcome. I think comprehend is wrong. It's a meaning of the word. But again, the meaning of the is a basic meaning that is determined by the context. And here, I think it would be, if you had to do one, it would be overcome, or maybe double meaning. Now, in contrast to in the beginning was the word, next we read in verse 6, there was a man sent from God. It's a deliberate contrast. It makes me sad, in the first century, there was a John the Baptist sect. We're so dumb. We'd believe it. People would believe anything. If a false teacher did a few miracles, he'd have a group. Or if he said things people wanted to hear, we have those things on the TV. I can't stand them. Makes me so mad. I saw an expose show of a shyster evangelist. That's not a proper combination, is it? Who had people fill out cards when they came in the door, and he had a hidden mic, and his wife read him the information as he was speaking to the people and what the Lord was telling them. Yeah, I shake my head too. And here's the deal. It was publicized. People still came to his baloney. Did he stop?
Nope. No, he just went away for a while.
And foolish people still gave him money. I don't want to curse in front of a class, but man, that makes me so mad. Whoa! There was a man sent from God. You better believe it. 400 years, no prophets. here comes this guy in an Elijah getup, eating grasshoppers. And out of his mouth came the word of God. You wouldn't be able to stand up against it and tell him it wasn't. Whoo! Oh, he wouldn't back down. That's what got his head chopped off, eventually. Oh, man.
What would we do with somebody like that today?
We'd be scared. Well, I'd probably put him in an asylum, lock him up. And they would, too, other than the fact that, because they were quacks, this man was a prophet of God. I'm just astonished. He did zero miracles, as it says at the end of John 9 or 10. Always forget that. Zero miracles. And people believed him. Wow. That is just astonishing. Well, he was sent from God, named John. The only John named in this gospel is not the apostle. I think John the apostle wrote it. Bishop Westcott, man, oh man, how many years ago now? 150 years ago, whatever, Bishop Westcott, Anglican, Bible believer, said the man was a Jew because he's acquainted with the Jewish ins and outs. He was a Palestinian because he knows the geography of Jerusalem and other things. Oh boy, and there's a couple more I'm not getting here. He was an apostle. And those are good arguments still, reading the internal witness, the evidence of the gospel. Externally, the church thought it was from John the Apostle, which is amazing because it never even mentions his name. But he was identified as the apostle whom Jesus loved, as the one who leaned against Jesus at the Lord's Supper, and so forth. I'm going to stop on time for a change. Are there any questions? I do not intend to spend the next 5 weeks on John chapter 1. I just get going and thank you for your patience. Pray with me, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for John's witness to Jesus. Thank you that you have sent your Son, who is indeed God the Son, into the world as the Son of Man. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and giving yourself for us. Thank you for the Lord's Supper. Bless it to us this day. Thank you for your resurrection of the dead. Bless our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and all who preach your word and truth around the world this day. May we feel kinship with Christians around the world today and down through history who have taken the Lord's Supper. Bless us, we pray, and our families. Work in us according to your good pleasure, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.